All right, we are reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. So we get to thank God for the cloud of witness today. I'm just going to open with that statement, which is why it was so exciting that the teens came and spoke at Rachel this morning, because they are a cloud of witness. We get to celebrate that today. I was reading an article about the seven loudest stadiums. In fact, that's what it's called. It's the seven loudest stadiums that was written in March of this year. And the author begins his article with this. Few things in sports are as electrifying as a stadium packed with roaring fans. I would love to have that at church, by the way. Roaring fans. The sheer noise can be deafening. Wouldn't that be fun? Creating an atmosphere that fuels home teams and rattles opponents. Okay, friends, still. Home team here, who's the opponent? Wouldn't it be great to rattle that guy? Mm-hmm. Some venues are legendary for their intense crowds, where the energy in the stands becomes as much a part of the game as the action on the field. The witnesses, the cloud of witnesses, influences what happens in the game. You know that? We all know who's the loudest stadium, don't we? Mm-hmm, we sure do. Okay, so you guys can tell me, but not John, because I already just read it to him last night. How many decibels do we hold the record for? Anybody know?
153.
Not quite. You're a little high.
142.2.
For the past 11 years, which Brennan was explaining to me, not because of this, but because we were talking about noise-canceling headphones yesterday, and he was explaining something about decibels. What was it, John? He said, over so many, they like... duplicate, they're like...
If they double every time, it's not a straight line, so it's not as linear.
Like one is real shallow, but when you get past it, then like it just...
It's like if you go to 100 to 101 or 110, if it remembers by 110, it actually doubles. So 110 would be like double of 100.
So really, when it's really loud, it's extraordinarily loud. So that 142.2 decibels is mind-boggling. But when we watch a Chiefs game and the players are out there on the field and they're doing their thing and the crowd isn't making all the noise, what do? Yeah, I'm really glad that some people did that with me at every church today. They say, come on, make some noise. They need that, don't they? When I was in high school, Mr. Frazier was the volleyball coach, and I don't know what was going on. You know, I just know the teenage part of it that I heard. And I remember him at one point saying, I don't really know why the cheerleaders need to go to the away games. I think I'd like to go to the office and ask him to take them off the roster for the bus. You know what happened? You guys know the names, and so I can share them with you. My good friend Jamie was one of our wonderful volleyball players, and she went to Mr. Frazier, and she said, if the cheerleaders don't go, I don't go. Isn't that great? She said, we need them. Because sometimes they're the only ones on our side. And they help us play the game. You can attest to that, can't you? Cheerleaders play an important role. Encouragement is helpful. Not that we need a constant pat on the back, but we need somebody in our corner, somebody on our team, somebody helping to encourage us when things look rough. Kids go into anything they're getting ready to go and perform in any way, and they look for their people. Haven't you noticed that? Anytime that you see a bunch of kids on a stage. One of our kids used to tell us before, every Friday night we went and watched the same band performance with all of our daughters that was in band. And so for how many years in a row, we went to every Friday night football game because we would watch the same band show. Of course, then we would go and watch it on Saturday too when they went to competition. And so one of our daughters said to us, you guys don't have to come to the show. It's the same show that it's been the whole season. But what happened when she got out on the field? And then when they'd see us, that smile and that little bit taller posture. It was important to have somebody in our corner. Even the kids at Bible school, they all ran up onto the stage in this little pack of crowd up there ready to sing their little songs. They were all looking out there, and then they'd be like, ready to see their people, to know that their people shared their interests, that they wanted to share the experiences they were having and that they loved them. The cloud of witness is important. This is our support system. These are our cheerleaders. And so the scripture passage today that we are looking at, this little blurb that was written by the writer of Hebrews, I have to say this, by the way. I have told you this before. I take my sermons and I plug them in to AI and I have it go through and tell me whether or not it's worth preaching and what changes I ought to make. And I kept saying, Paul said this and Paul said this. And AI said to me, well, it doesn't tell us for sure that that was written by Paul. So let us say the writer of Hebrews, but I am sure I will still say Paul because we think it was probably Paul. And so I will slip and I'll say both. The writer of Hebrews is not known for certain, but we think it was Paul. And the writer was encouraging the people that he was writing to do two things. And we're going to talk about those today. Now, my favorite part of the scripture, the part that I want to keep in our pocket, the part that inspired me to preach on it, was the little piece that says, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. So the two things that we're going to focus on that lead us to that, the joy that was set before Christ. Well, last Sunday, we talked about the things that we couldn't possibly see, right? We talked about how the grass is always greener and how things we can see might lead us astray. And so we talked about how we couldn't possibly always know exactly what was going to happen, but this week, we're going to go ahead and talk about the things that we see that are good for us. The first thing that I would like us to notice is that crowd, that audience. Like fans in a gymnasium, even when marathon runners run, there are cheerleaders all along the way, and that support group helps them with every step. The writer, even though he began his message by stating about the ancestors who leaned on their faith in God to get them started, he uses those very same ancestors. I just think this is really cool because it brings, I've had so many images in my mind this week. When he was talking about these same ancestors who leaned on their faith and left them inspired, he then moves and he calls these the cloud of witness. There's a heavenly cloud of witness. There are cheerleaders in heaven cheering for you. Is that cool to think about? Now think about how many folks are in Arrowhead Stadium that can make 142.2 decibels. How many people do you think are in heaven? A whole lot more than fits in Chiefs Stadium, yes? If we can make this much noise, how much noise is heaven making for us? Isn't that kind of cool to think about? First they have their heavenly choir practice, and then they turn their attention to all of us here, and they root for us. That we could be successful in the race of life. The writer calls this the race that is set before us. See, this guy was using metaphors of sports, and so I'm using metaphors of sports too, because the original writer did. And so he draws his readers then to imagine the second thing. So the first thing we can see is the crowd. There is a cloud of witness around us, and these are the people among us, but there's also a cloud of witness in heaven, so there's both. These are the things we can see. The second thing that he wants us to think about is the thing that gets us on the starting block in the first place. What puts us on the starting block in a race? What are we looking for? What's our goal?
The finish line.
The finish line is our goal. It must be there for us to go towards. Yes? Every single thing that we do, from the moment that we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, has a purpose. Believe it or not. Every single thing. And that purpose inspires us to do the thing that we are doing. So in athletic competition, using racing like Paul did, the finish line not only inspires the runner to get on the line, but it inspires them to train for that race. If I went and raced Peter, who would win? Peter. Yeah, you know the right answer. You're right. He's been doing 5Ks. He's been training. He's been running. He's been conditioning himself. If we don't train, it'll be a whole lot harder for us, right? So all of the things that we do in life have a finish line, and all of them require, if we want to be good at it, training, deciding to get your body healthy. That's a goal. There's a finish line. Health is a finish line. And so what do we have to do? Well, we have to think about every bite of food we put in our mouth and every beverage we drink. Also, is there dye in my food? Is there plastic on my laundry detergent? What things am I doing that make, it's all training. Every single thing we do becomes a part of training for our particular race. Even the choice to go sit on the couch has a goal. What is the goal and the purpose of having to sit on the couch? Rest. Can you sit down and exhaust yourself? You can. If you sit down and don't keep rest in my mind, this is what I want to do, I want to rest. We can busy ourselves reading something that's negative or thinking about things that are harmful. And by the time we get up from that moment that we were intended to rest, we can be more exhausted than when we sat down. Every single thing, no matter how minute it seems, has a purpose and a goal. And in order to reach it, we have to keep the goal in our vision. The writer of the Hebrews drew attention to the hardest goal that was ever reached. And that was when Jesus went past the cross. And I say went past the cross because oftentimes when we think about our Lord and Savior, we envision the cross as the finish line, don't we? Was it? Was this the finish line for Christ? If it was, we'd be awfully sad people, wouldn't we? Jesus, that's why that scripture comes back. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The finish line was in Jesus' sight. What was the finish line? Heavenly throne, being with his Father, being in the kingdom. That was the finish line. This was the world's largest hurdle. But Jesus did that because he had joy before him. The cross was a terrible part of the race that Jesus ran to reach the arms of his Father. But Jesus reached the finish line, creating for us a path to joy. So in the letter that we looked at today, Paul says, to look back at our ancestors who leaned on their faith, imagine them as your cloud of witness in the race of life, but keep your eyes fixed on your joy, which is your salvation in Jesus Christ. And he wrote it this way, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of faith. Everything we encounter in life that is sad or hard or frustrating are hurdles in our life. When I was younger, quite a bit younger, I remember my sister, I don't even remember what was going on. I just remember I was having a bad time. And I was telling her about this bad time, and she said, don't you know that every time you're struggling, that's just Satan trying to steal your joy? And I have never forgotten it. It's been probably over 30 years, 40 years maybe, since she told me that. And there's been days, even this past week, that I can't even tell you the moments. I can just remember that there's been some things come up, and I stopped, physically stopped and turned, and in my mind's eye visualized all the frustrations and all of the things that was going on that was trying to drag me down and stop me from doing what I needed to do. And I said, not today, Satan. You will not steal my joy. Sometimes we have to literally turn and audibly say, you're not stealing my joy. Because the opponent really wants to. So if we're going to run the race of life and do so effectively, is it easier to run or harder to run when we carry heavy things? It's a little harder, right? Things become very heavy. Even the things that don't look very big become very heavy. I remember when Alexis started a swim team, like the school swim team for RAPAC, and they brought them their swimming suits that they were going to wear for competitions. Have you ever seen a real competition swimming suit? It looked like it was going to go on about a 12 or 18 month baby. When she carried the swimsuit in and said, here's my competition swimming suit, and I'm looking at my daughter, who's taller than myself. And I went, who's are you putting on? And who's going to fit into that? And she said, well, it's supposed to fit us. Do you know why those women's suits are so tiny? Because every little bit of fabric adds drag in the water. Imagine how when you ever have to empty out your washing machine after it didn't empty out, you got all the water in, how heavy your clothes become. And so those swimming suits get heavier when they get wet. And every swimmer who is wearing more threads has less ability to swim fast. And so those, and they did, it stretched out and it was just fine, but it looked no way when I saw it. So think about that. Every single thread adds weight. You ever get a little thread and you're just like, oh, you gotta cut that off? How many threads are you carrying around today? If you put a whole bunch of threads together, you can make a whole garment, can't you? Whole tapestry. Somebody came out of Rich Hill this morning and said, do you know how heavy a quilt is when you put all those threads together? Imagine that wet blanket weighing you down. Whatever we carry that we don't need to be carrying, and even when it seems really tiny, slows us down and asks to steal our joy. So, are we going to carry it, or are we going to cut it? Get rid of it. Some of the things that maybe we carry around, anger, jealousy, addiction, exhaustion, doubt, complacency, willingness to look over injustice, hopelessness, dishonesty, greed, distraction. The list could go on, couldn't it? You know what? Each one of those words was really small, and I put them together and I had a whole paragraph. Just like the fabric, those little threads can add up even when they seem very insignificant, and they can slow us down, pull our gaze away from the finish line. Get rid, my friends, of the things that need to be cut loose. As I've imagined how Jesus overcame all of the things in the world and crossed those hurdles and ran into the arms of his Father, I was thinking about what a little kid looks like when they get out of their very first day of school ever, and their mom comes to pick them up, and the little one sees their mom for the first time. They hadn't been apart. What happens? Mom opens her arms, the little one comes running up, and they embrace. It's joy, right? And I just kept thinking, I never thought of this before, but what must it have been like when God welcomed Jesus back into heaven? That embrace had to be beautiful and pure joy on either side. May we fix our eyes on that kind of joy. May we let that kind of joy encourage us ever forward, allowing us to shed all the threads of negativity that weigh us down and steal our energy to keep our passion for the race of life. Every athlete knows that if you focus on how tired you are, you're more likely to quit. But if you can focus on the joy, you might just be able to keep your eyes on the finish line and keep joy. Jesus did that. He ran for our joy. And you and I are free today to run into the arms of Jesus Christ. Don't you want to run to the arms of Jesus? Every day, a little closer. What is slowing you down, distracting your gaze? Call it what you will, but will you cut it loose? I invite you to picture that joy that's before you, being with Christ one day in his arms as he says, well done. I encourage you to pray for the endurance that you'll need for the joy of the race. The stadium is full. The stands are packed. The race is on and the finish line is clear. That joy is before us. Fix your eyes on Jesus and let's run together into the arms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful cloud of witness, all of those on earth that surround us and encourage us and love us towards your loving arms. And Lord, we thank you for all of the witnesses that have gone on before, the roar of the crowd that encourages us on a bad day to turn and say, no, Satan, you will not steal my joy. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have loved us all along and the way that you showed it to us through the sacrifice of your Son. May we be empowered by his journey. May we be persistent in running the race. May we keep our eyes on the prize, Lord, and that is eternity with you. Lord, may we then be the cloud of witness for those around us, encouraging them along the way as well. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.